Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are now joined by Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the best football show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo, game day, be delicious. Baldy, welcome back to the show here, BT and Sal. And how about a win for Big Blue? What'd you see breaking down the film from the Giants' performance, specifically defensively, Baldy? I'd be curious to get your take there in Cleveland on Sunday.
Oh, man, they made life tough on Deshaun Watson. I mean, they sacked him 8 times. They hit him 15 times. They never stopped coming. I thought it was a great game called by Shane Bowen, the new defensive coordinator. Deshaun Watson had struggled against pressure this year. And, you know, whether it was Dexter Lawrence or Brian Burns getting the sack fumble or whether it was Jason Pinnock, I mean, they were coming after him relentlessly. And they played their best defensive game that they played in years, to be honest with you. That was impressive what they did. And you started to see some of the talent. You know, whether it was Ojulari or Burns or Thibodeau or Dexter Lawrence or Chapman. I mean, the front seven played very, very well. And it was just relentless pressure on Cleveland and Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, and Baldy, I thought this was going to be their identity this year. So, you know, taken from that Browns game, you know, week into Thursday, Dallas, so on and so forth, how transferable is this? Is this what the Giants are going to become?
Well, it's transferable. I mean, it's week to week, you know, but, you know, you're going to see Dak Prescott on a short week, and that offense runs through C.D. Lamb, and so that's who they're looking for almost every single route. They're not a very good running team right now, just the way Cleveland is it, but I wouldn't dismiss it. They've got a lot of young guys playing on the offensive line, but I would say that much of what we saw last Sunday in Cleveland, I think we could see a lot of it this weekend. This Thursday against Dallas, because if they can't stop it and if they can't beat it, then they're going to keep coming after you with it.
What'd you think of Daniel Jones' performance, Baldy?
I thought it was really solid, really solid. I mean, he didn't turn the ball over. I thought the offense made a lot of sense. He was very decisive. He's got a star player in Malik Nabers, but you know, and he got the ball to him for the 2 touchdowns and you know, a big jump ball on the outside. But I thought, you know, getting the ball, whether it was to Slayton on third down or to Wandale in a number of ways or screening it to Singletary, I thought he looked the best he's looked in a long time on Sunday. It's not perfect by any stretch.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's seeing the field well. He made good, quick, decisive decisions, and it was good. It was efficient for him.
Hey, Brian, it's easy to say that Nabers looks the part. I mean, we all see that. In terms of the film, you know, is it body control? Like, what's his best characteristic, do you think?
He's just a football player. You know, like that, you know, you look at that 4th and 1 at their own 43-yard line, down 7-0. It's a gamble. But, you know, he's in a bunch formation on the left side, and he comes on a little fly sweep right there. Cleveland's got 11 guys in the line of scrimmage, and he outruns them all. Like, he just knew where he had to get to for the sticks. He's just, you know, you can say, okay, you know, Odell was here, and he had tremendous first-step quickness, and he could separate. And Malik could do all that, but he's just he's a blocker. He catches everything with his hands. Quarterbacks love that. He looks it into his hands. He's fundamentally sound. He runs crisp routes. And a guy, I think if you put him at running back, he'd be a good running back. I think if you played him at linebacker, I think he'd be a hell of a linebacker. Like, he's just a football player.
You know, Baldy, you mentioned Kayvon Thibodeau before, and we know it was a great Giants defensive effort. If I watch Burns, I look at him and say, man, this guy plays with ferocity. He's got elite speed. There are certain things that jump out at him, which you know why he has success as being one of the elite pass rushers in the league. What do you see from Thibodeau? Just from me personally, I don't know if I see that speed or the physical dominance. What do you see from Thibodeau that gives him the potential to be a great edge rusher?
Well, I mean, he's different. He's different than Brian. He's different than a lot of guys in this league. He's very smooth. He's not the most physical guy. He's not the biggest guy. He doesn't, you know, he's not going to run guys over, but he's super smooth. He's elusive. That's kind of his game right now. He's long, But, you know, he's not a guy that he's got tremendous power at the point of attack. He's not going to a big speed to power guy. And so that's kind of his game. It's I don't want to use finesse because that makes it sound like he's soft. He's not soft, but he's a finesse player.
So I want to get something on the Jets, but before we transition to them, obviously a massive game for the Giants to make a statement, yep. And we're going to start, you know, really amping up the intensity for this game as we get deeper into the week. Now, it's very rare that you hear team leaders, one on each side of the ball, kind of pull back the curtain the way Dak and Parsons did for the Cowboys in terms of film and just being a pro. I mean, that's basic stuff. They aired it out. Where's Dallas going the rest of the way here? It looks like they could either fracture or just take off and unify. What do you anticipate?
Well, I mean, this is what happens when you lose two games in a row and you play for the Cowboys. They played horrible. They played, you know, they're not sound against the run at all. They don't understand what run fits are. They're way out of position. I mean, Baltimore ran for 260 yards against them. They could run for more if they wanted to. They didn't have any answer for anything that they did, which is, I mean, Lamar's been running that read option play since he was in Pompano Beach, Florida in high school. Like, it's the same play, and they had no idea how to stop. They went right down the field and ran it right down their throats. And so right now they're at a crossroads. Like, they've got to go on a short week and win this game and get back to 500, get back in the race. If they come to New York and New York hands it to them, I mean, you're going to see that team splinter quickly because the owner doesn't really know how to handle it. They're young in a lot of spots. I played for the Cowboys, guys, for 60 years. They always had a stud running back. I don't care if it was Dorsett or whether it was Emmitt Smith. They don't have that right now. And it's weird. Like, the Cowboys always had DeMarco Murray. Like, they've always had great running backs. Zeke for 5 years was great. They don't have that right now. And so it's really Dak and CeeDee Lamb. If they're not connecting, they look like they struggle a lot.
BT and Sal on the Fan, Brian Baldinger joining us. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Well, the Jets got things started, Baldy, in Week 3 on Thursday night, dismantling the Patriots. What have you seen here from the Jets so far in 3 weeks? Is it encouraging that you think that they could get better and maybe even that defense be a more dominant defense moving forward?
Well, it can be, especially if they get C.J. Mosley back and D.J. Reed healthy. You know, get some of those players back. They're not going to get Jermaine back, but they got some young players that are coming on defensively. But offensively, I mean, a couple things were really encouraging. One was the movement of Aaron Rodgers because he got chased quite a bit against the Patriots, and he was able to escape every single time and make good decisions. When they convert third downs and they stay on the field, you can see what happens when you get Breece Hall and Braylon Allen going with the 1-2 punch. They're a very good tandem of backs. And I think Breece Hall is close, just like Saquon did last week and broke that 65-yarder. Breece Hall is going to do the same thing. It's going to happen here because he's just that explosive. You just got to keep giving him the touches and get him the rhythm. But right now you're seeing Michael Williams develop. You're seeing Lazard, Garrett Wilson. You saw Tyler Conklin was the go-to guy in a game against. So you're seeing the offense stay on the field. And when they stay on the field, Aaron Rodgers knows exactly what he's looking at. He's hard to fool, and the arm is still elite. And so there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic, even with Denver coming to town, who played their best football in Tampa this past weekend.
Yeah, his mobility jumped out to me as well. We all know he could throw with his eyes shut through a keyhole, but he was downright bouncy. You know, and the thought here, Baldy, was that, and I understand why, you ruptured the Achilles, you're 40, probably not going to be the same guy. Is there a chance, though, that, you know, by letting his body rest for essentially an entire year and regenerate, that he might come back and even be maybe a little fresher this year and a little more athletic than he was his last year in Green Bay?
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, maybe. I mean, it's certainly a plausible explanation for why he looks fresh and why he's able to elude 23-year-old guys like Keon White last week and run away from them, not just elude him, but run away from him and make one play after another, whether he's going to his right or going to his left. And I think it might even be surprising him because you can't really practice that stuff. You want to be able to explode, but you don't know until you have to. And so I think some of it is probably when he watches it, he's probably surprised himself a little bit by what he's able to do because he looks every bit as mobile and elusive as he did 3 years ago when he was, you know, the best in the league.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's why I asked. So we all know Tyron Smith. We've all seen him play a lot of big games for Dallas. In the trenches, on the film, the continuity with the new offensive lineman, what are you seeing?
Well, he struggled a little bit. Aaron Rodgers helped him out. You know, he got beat on the edge a bit. Like, he's not – the foot quickness isn't what it might once was. If he gets his hands on you, it's over. Like, he's got the biggest set of baseball mitts I've ever seen on a football player. When he gets his hands on you, it's over. But if he doesn't, I mean, I've seen guys with some speed now turn the corner on him. So you got to be a little concerned. You got to be thinking about that. But he's still – like, when he gets his hands on you and drive blocking, he's still very good. Simpson, been a good pickup. Vera Tucker played very well. Tippmann's coming on. It was good seeing Fashanu out there at right tackle at the end of that game because, you know, eventually he needs to get out there. And so I think they got some depth that they haven't had, but I would be a little concerned about Tyron right now against elite pass rushers, especially if Mike is coming to town.
Sorry, Baldy. We were just joined by Craig Carton in studio. Is it true that you can never beat him in ping pong and tennis?
Well, that's not true. I mean, Craig Carton, I spanked him at the Super Bowl one. You're like, is that not on film somewhere?
Yeah, Craig said, make sure when you talk to Baldy, you tell him that he was never able to beat me at ping pong or tennis, so I wanted to bring it up to you.
We had battles. We had our battles back in the day when he was here in Philadelphia. He won some, but I know I've got some. I know I've taken some money from him. Let me just say that. Look, we were playing for matchsticks back then, you know, and pennies, so it wasn't anything big.
Yeah, I mean, in Craig's mind, he's never lost at anything. Was this after he retired from the Phillies minor league team or right before as a third baseman?
Well, I mean, you know, Craig does his thing, man. He can chat with the best of them.
Did you see Baldy, speaking of Philadelphia, what did you think of the decisions again Sirianni made? I know they beat the Saints, but still, I mean, I just look at the Eagles as a poorly coached team. What do you think of Philadelphia, where they're at through 3 weeks?
Well, I mean, he came out and said that, you know, some of those calls on fourth down were his calls. I think sometimes, you know, these analytics are just confusing to coaches. Like, sometimes it's just good to punt. Sometimes it's good to kick the field goal and take the points, especially early in the game. Playing a good team on the road in a, you know, I was there on Sunday in Louisiana, Superdome. Like, sometimes you should just do the right thing. And I know the analytics has changed everything in every sport. Three-point shots, home runs. Football, there's nothing wrong in the first quarter with kicking field goals. It just isn't. And so they passed up a lot of points. And then what happens is you end up chasing those points. And it ends up almost costing you. Thank goodness, you know, they made two huge plays, Saquon, along with Dallas Goedert. They made two huge plays to win the game. But otherwise, Nick Sirianni is really on the griddle today in Philadelphia.
Much to my partner's happiness. He can't stand him. All right, so, Baldy, based on the records here, give me a bad team that you still believe in and a good team that you're not buying.
Well, I still believe that Cincinnati can be a good team. I mean, Joe Burrow is as good as there is in his business. They put up 33. It wasn't enough. I think they're 0-3, but I still think they could be a good team. Look, the Steelers, if you give up 26 points in three games, you should be 3-0. But the offense, the only exciting thing about watching that offense is watching the rookie center play. Like, he has more pancake blocks than they've scored points so far this year. Like, that's the best part of the offense for me.
What do you think here Thursday night, Baldy? Give us a prediction for the Giants-Cowboys game, and then even for Sunday if you want Jets-Broncos.
Well, I mean, look, Mike is coming to town. He's an elite player. If you let him ruin the game, he will. So the best thing to combat Dallas and Micah and their speed is to run the ball basically right at him. That's what the last two opponents have done to him, and they haven't been able to stop it. So if the Giants can get any kind of a running game going and you can nullify Micah a little bit, I give the Giants, because I think defensively, look, I know in the back end there's still question marks. And outside, some corner positions, there's some question marks. But that defensive front is very good. I haven't seen anybody block Dexter Lawrence yet. So I think this could be a real close game. They get it to the fourth quarter. I think the Giants have a fighter's chance to win the game.
What about Jets-Broncos?
I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to fool around this game. Denver's got a quality defense. I'm sure they'll put Surtain on Garrett Wilson and take their chances in other places. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to carve them up, and I think the Jets get their third win and their best win so far.
Thanks, Baldy. We appreciate it.
Yep, my pleasure, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
Yep, looking forward to it as always. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, your host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. When we come back, I think we're going to actually have a segment or two without a guest on the line or in studio here.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.